You're listening to the Mythgreen Podcast with your hosts, Oren Ashkenazi, Wes Matlock, and Chris Winkle. There was a castle by a waterfall with a pink and purple wall and a princess living there. She had no parents and was all alone. She got by on her own and she liked it pretty well. Cause she never wore socks, she had a pet snake, she bought a red guitar and she ate a whole cake. And there wasn't anybody there to tell her what to do, so she did what she wanted to. Everybody knew the story of the princess who saved herself.
This episode was produced thanks to our patron, Kathy Ferguson, professor of political theory in Star Trek.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Mythgreens Podcast. I'm Oren, with me today is...
Wes.
And for a third time, special guest Reese.
Hey there.
Woo, third time.
Third time's the charm.
All right, guys. Have you ever felt deep in your soul when you got to the end of a story that you needed more? But then
so much more.
But then there wasn't more, and then you were upset. Because that's what we're talking about today is stories that needed a sequel but didn't get one. Or really that we I guess looking at my list, it's more like stories that we wanted them to have a sequel. There was this really cool movie called Rogue One that like took place in this universe with like space lasers and like, you know, cool ships, and like I never saw any other movies in that franchise, so like I don't know what happened. Did they ever make more of that?
Yeah, I don't know.
That one was just so good. I mean, why would they make only one standalone movie that good in that world?
Seems very strange. But seriously, so this is not a super common problem because, like, it's much more common that people will make sequels for stories that really didn't need sequels. Because, like, they have a built-in audience and then they, like, you know, want to sell more whatevers. So, like, that's the more common solution. But, like, sometimes it's not, you know, sometimes a story, you'll get to an end and there will be, like, some thread that's not resolved, or, like, there were, like, some foreshadowing that you thought was for a sequel that never happened, or there's just something about the characters that you feel like there needs to be more development. One book that I read that was like that was called Maplecroft. And it's like, you know, the premise is basically Lizzie Borden versus Cthulhu. I liked it. I thought it was a good book. I enjoyed it a lot. And it ends with, like, a bunch of questions that are unanswered. Like, you know, what was this weird artifact that the main character had that was attracting all of these things from the sea? And what was the entity that was sending the things from the sea? And what happened to the main character's lover? And will the main character and her sister ever reconcile? And these all feel like questions for a sequel, right?
Right.
So technically that book does have a sequel, but it's not about any of those things. It's about a completely different story that is set somewhere else like 30 years later. And it's just... So I like, even though technically speaking that Maplecroft does have a sequel, I feel like it wasn't the sequel that I wanted, and I feel like I was unserved, okay?
Yeah, but I think you do bring up a good point, and we're talking about stories that we think need sequels. Maybe they did have more than one episode or season, or there were more than one. We're just talking about more things, but sequel is a good thing to point out, because spiritual successor or thematic sequel, like, still counts in my mind. I was looking at, like, my list, and I'm like, okay, this is what I wrote down. Teen Wolf. Oren, I know you too.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about that. I was like, okay, I want more Teen Wolf, but what about Teen Wolf do I want more of? And what Teen Wolf has just got going for it is just, I love those characters. They just are the best. I want more of them. It's really not that, like, the world is like that, like, compelling to me. Like, there's other worlds that are basically the exact same. So that's an example of, like, please give me movie or more shows, please, because I need to see what happens with their continued stories. It sounds like that Maplecroft one is much more just like we're going to take the Maplecroft elements and then we're going to repackage them into a different story, but keep some of the same thematic components.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, that would have actually been better. If we're getting into the nitty-gritties of the sequel to Maplecroft, one of its problems is that it's about a completely different story, but, like, the main character from the previous story is, like, shoehorned in there. Because it's called the Borden Dispatches, right? That's what the series is called. And it's like, well, it's got to have a Borden in it. So I guess Lizzie Borden is still in this novel, even though she's like 70 now. And spends like most of the book. That wasn't the right way to phrase it. Because honestly, a 70-year-old Lizzie Borden like investigating Cthulhu mysteries would also be cool. No,
sure.
The issue is that most of the story takes place in Birmingham, Alabama, and Lizzie spends most of the story in New England, and every once in a while we'll like cut away from the story happening in Birmingham, which is where the action is, to have a chapter from Lizzie's perspective where she like talks about how weird and quirky her life is now. And you know, and it's like, that's just really boring. And then like by the time she shows up, she finally gets to where the main action is, it feels like she's there to like sort of steal the thunder from the characters who have been actually doing all the work until now. So anyway, it was just a mess. It's not great. I did not like it. But like Teen Wolf is also on my list, and it's kind of weird because Teen Wolf already had 6 seasons, right? It's not like there's a huge shortage of Teen Wolf.
Right.
And also its 6th season was frankly not very good. So it's like, I didn't expect it to leave such a lasting impression on me, but it absolutely did. Like, when I think about it, I'm just like, oh man, I just want more of those characters, except Liam. I don't want any more Liam. But
Liam's no more face. Of that. Yeah. His face.
that was one of my problems with season 6, was that like I felt a little bit robbed, because I felt like the season 6 should be like wrapping up the characters that I loved, right? And like really, you know, giving me like one last hurrah with them. And instead it was like, what about Liam? Don't you like Liam? Liam's going to be in charge of the pack now. I was like, does it have to be Liam? Could it be literally anybody else?
The other thing that it didn't do well at all, it's like, if you are craving a sequel, like, you know, probably there's some things that like just weren't handled very satisfactorily. And Styles and Lydia's like romance arc was just like, I don't know. Each episode and series, like it was like building up, and then, you know, I guess we're just gonna spoil the crap out of
this. Yeah, that's what we're doing now.
You know, like he tells her that he loves her, and he gets taken by the Ghost Riders, and then just like comes back, and you know, there's like the quippy one line, I didn't say it, you didn't have to, or like whatever, and it's just like, well, what happened to them? Like, he goes off to FBI school, and
yeah, he got famous and had to be in movies now. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reason.
I just it was frustrating, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like, what I felt like, okay, so part of this, I think, is that a big part of why I liked Teen Wolf is that I really enjoyed watching the characters mature, right? Like, you know, there are some bumps along the way, but overall, I think that, like, the core characters in the group, they all, like, really, like, you know, evolve and change and do new cool things and, like, are very different people than they were at the beginning. And I felt like I didn't have time for them to, like, grow fully into their new maturity. Like, because when they start story, you know, they're all like, you know, they're lost kids and they don't know what's happening, and then like, you know, by the end they're like just getting to the point where they feel like they have a handle on things and they can be like serious players now. And then the show ends and it's like, I wanted more of that, right? Like, I joked about it, but what I wanted was mid-20s Wolf.
You're absolutely right, because like definitely the moment where I was thrilled in season 6 was when Derek Hale came
back. Yeah, I know. Like, oh yes. Derek Hale or like Jackson. I did not expect that, right? Like
Jackson too.
Yeah, when Jackson showed up and was cool and also gay now, and that was great. I was like, that's super rad. He's got a cool boyfriend. I'm into that. And like that was, I really liked that part. And I wanted the characters to kind of like become like sort of the new, like, you know, leaders, for lack of a better term, of like the supernatural community in their town. Like, you know, how the Hales are in the backstory. That's what I was really hoping would happen. But instead, like, the idea that at the end of this, they, like, Scott goes off to college, and I'm like, I just found that very unsatisfying. And so maybe the answer here is that I just didn't like the ending. But maybe that's really what's going on.
Well, I suppose, though, on the other side, an example of a show that maybe we don't need the characters so much as we want, like, a successor maybe in the world. Although, to be fair, this one is a little bit of both. But the world of Avatar The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra, I mean, they can just do whatever they want in that world, as far as I'm concerned, as long as they get approval for at least 3 seasons that is fully funded from the start. And then I'll be okay. But, like, I mean, that's one where I will always welcome more of that, because I don't think I'm ever going to really be satisfied with what, like, could be happening there. It's a cool world. It's fun. The characters are great.
Okay. So here's an interesting thing. I was thinking about Avatar, right? And I was like, okay, at first I was like, I don't really want a sequel. I want another show set in that setting. And I do want that. You know, preferably one that's set, like, before the Fire Nation War, because I think there's a lot of interesting, like, you know, stuff to explore in the past of this world. I think going forward might be a bit of a mistake, since their technology is already kind of too advanced.
Good point.
But at the same time, like, as I was thinking that, I was like, you know, I also want more of the Korra characters, because it's not really a secret that I didn't like the first 3 seasons of Korra. Like, they had their moments, but for the most part, I thought they were pretty subpar. And then season 4 almost feels like a soft reboot. Where they have they have that time jump, and, like, a lot of the characters are very different now. And then there's, like, this, you know, this sort of in the background romance with Korra and Asami that is good that it's there, bad that we had to, like, ask the writers for clarification. Is, like, is that a romance at the end? And, like, because the fourth season is a soft reboot almost, it feels like I didn't get as much time with those characters as I needed. Like, normally it's like, well, I had 4 seasons with them, that would be fine. But the, as much as, you know, the fight with Kovira was cool, and I liked that fight, but it didn't feel like the natural conclusion of Korra's arc, right? I can see, I can see how they were trying to make it that, with this whole idea that, like, Korra starts off being like, I will solve all of my problems with violence. And, you know, if I just violence enough, everything will get better. And that being, that's, like, Kuvira's thing, too. I can see what they were trying to do there, but because of the way the seasons were structured, it didn't quite work for me. And so I felt like I wanted to see these characters, like, you know, go a little further and, like, see what they do next, right? Whereas I don't feel that way about The Last Airbender. Even though The Last Airbender has some very good sequel comics, you know, I read them for fun, but I didn't feel, like, when Last Airbender ended, I didn't feel, like, a big need to see what Aang is going to do next. I felt like his story was really well resolved. Reese, what about you? Both Wes and I have stated a couple. What do you got for us?
Well, I mean, I guess my first one would kind of break the sequel and go into potential prequel. We were talking about, I know. We were talking about something similar there with Avatar and Korra, where just, like, the world is really good and rich. And I felt very similarly about a mini series called Over the Garden Wall.
Oh, that was a really good show.
It was a really good show, and it's a very tight story. Like, it has a clear ending. It's wrapped up. It's got a pretty bow. But I would actually really love to see more of the unknown and get some more time in that story, but maybe before, like, maybe get the woodsman's story, or potentially get some backstory on the beast. There's a lot of potential to play in that world more so than just, like, what the comics do, which is kind of go into in-betweens in Greg and Wirt's adventures.
So, like, by in-betweens, you mean, like, stuff that, like, is supposed to have happened during the show? Is that what you mean?
Yes. So it's, like, how they got into the cart when they were on their way to the tavern. Like, there's stuff that happened between episodes that the comics cover.
Yeah, okay. I can see why. I don't know how well written those are, but I can see why they might not be satisfying. That's like the Avatar comics. The ones that are set after the show is done are quite good, but then there are like some that are set like in between episodes, and it's sometimes hard to imagine like all of this happened between those episodes.
Yeah. There's that, and there's that it just kind of feels like filler at that point because it is between episodes, right. So it feels exactly like filler.
It's the problem with midquels, right? Go watch the Beauty and the Beast midquel. It is hilarious. It's just like, try to imagine that all of this happened during the movie. So here's one that actually doesn't have a sequel. There's no rules being broken here. The USS Callister, which is an episode of Black Mirror. And I normally not particularly into Black Mirror. I don't particularly like it as a show, but I heard a lot of buzz around USS Callister, and I watched it, and like, it ends, you know, spoilers here for USS Callister, but the way that it ends with the characters, you know, having freed themselves from this, like, you know, personal fantasy of the billionaire coder dude, and, you know, now being free to run around this giant sci-fi MMO as, like, you know, as essentially NPCs, that seems like a really interesting show. Like, as far as, like, a premise of, like, living inside a game works, I think that that's one of the better ones you could come up with, because they don't, like, it's not like they have bodies to return to, right? Like, they're like, sapient computer programs, and they, like, probably don't want anyone to know that they are, because then they, like, might get traced back to the murderer of, to the murder of the coder dude, who was an evil guy, but, like, they still killed him, right. And, like, maybe they don't want to be associated with that. And so they have, like, a strong reason not to, like, try to tell anybody that they are, you know, that they are actual people. And, like, you could have a really interesting setup of, like, this combination of, like, what happens in the game matters to them because they are part of the game, right? So things that can happen in the game can affect them. But then they can also occasionally have to deal with the weird, like, dynamics that arise around when humans play video games, right? And I just think that would be really neat. And fortunately, I'm not the only one. The people who made that episode are trying to get their own series made based off of it.
Cool.
So, you know, I'm giving them, you know, whatever positive energy I can, because, like, I really hope that happens.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be a really neat spinoff. Like, I would defos watch that.
I would too. I mean, like, it was a really good episode, and, like, as much as, like, normally the idea of, like, a show that's kind of, like, has a very different premise than its pilot, I normally wouldn't particularly like, but I think this time it would work. I think it could work fine.
I also just like the idea of, you know, clearly this wouldn't be that video game, but NPC comes in, smashes all the pots in your house, what do you do?
There's no rupees in here.
Or, what the heck?
I mean, like, that actually, like, that could be that could be an interesting premise for an episode, because, again, like, we've established that this RPG that they've made, this MMO, is so in-depth and so lifelike that it's, like, you know, its characters border on being sapient, right? Like, they're, you know, they're probably not, but they're close enough. And so you could definitely have a situation where the characters, like, go to some new space station and, like, make friends and everything's great. And then, like, some PC gets, like, a quest to kill everyone on the station 10 times. Right?
No.
It's like, what are you going to do? Right? Like, that feels really wrong. But, like, also the NPCs reset every time that happens. So, like, is it okay? I don't know. That sounds like a fun premise for an episode.
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
Mm-hmm.
That also gets with the NPC reset, gets into kind of Westworld territory.
Yeah, it does, except right. With characters that I like. I did not like Westworld, but that's my thing. That's a different episode entirely.
That's Oren hates Westworld, the episode.
That's a good episode. We'll get around to recording that someday.
Yes, with zero guest hosts.
This was sort of a weird situation, because this was there was a Discworld novel called Equal Rights, which is one of the earlier Discworld novels, and based on what I could read, I think it's probably the first good one. like, you know, I like Discworld, but some of the early Discworld books are not great.
Oh yeah.
Equal Rights is pretty good, and, like, you know, is about a young witch who decides she wants to go to wizard school. And it's like the whole, like, you know, I want to be a wizard. And it's like, well, only boys can be wizards. And it's like, well, why? And it's like, no reason. I guess we're sexist. Right. And it's like, you know, it's a pretty simple story. And it has, like, some continuity problems with the rest of Discworld, because, like, in the rest of Discworld, the wizards are like a sort of satire of, like, of men in power, where they're just like, yes, we have all of this authority and, like, you know, and power, and we could help people, but, like, we'd rather just eat and, like, have good food and stuff. So they're kind of, like, you know, satirical, but in this story they have to be, like, cool and do stuff with their power, otherwise it would be really hard to explain why she wanted to be one.
Yeah.
But even so, that character, whose name is Esk, I liked her, and it was a little disappointing to me that even though, like, Discworld continues on for, like, a bazillion more books, she only showed up once, like, 20 books later, in, like, a side story where she helps the main character of that book get something. And I was disappointed. I was like, I wanted to see more of that character, and, like, maybe she was too traditionally protagonist for Discworld, because, like, you know, Terry Pratchett really loves his kind of odd, you know, not quite regular protagonist characters. That's why he's got, like, Rincewind, who runs away from everything, and Sam Vimes, who is, like, you know, a recovering alcoholic who is, like, trying to not be sucked into politics and all that stuff, and maybe a young woman who wants to be a wizard is just too standard for him. I don't know. But I would have liked to see more of that character, and we never did.
What about Firefly? That got canned. They got a Serenity movie out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there, based on all accounts, like, there was a lot left that, like, Whedon meant to, like, do and explore in, like, the verse, but obviously, like, that never happened. I mean, if they put it out, I would watch it. I would be interested to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, like, I don't want them to make, to, like, you know, by this point, most of the cast is too old, right?
Right.
Like, it would look really weird if they also, like, I don't really want a series that continues from where Serenity left off.
Right. Yeah.
Because, like, you know, Wash is dead, and that would be weird, and that, like, throws off the whole dynamic of the crew. And then, like, also Book died, and we never really got an answer to his mystery, and, like, so, not great. This is, like, one of the things about Serenity that always really frustrated me is that, like, I feel like a lot of the answers that Serenity gives don't really match up with what was established in the series.
Right.
But, like, also from, like, looking at some of the stuff that Whedon has said, like, behind the scenes about his ideas for Firefly, I'm not actually convinced he had an explanation for the Reavers. Like, I don't think that he, like, based on what he was talking about, he, like, What he said was, because he wanted to do this Western thing, right? This Western idea. And in Westerns, there's, like, you know, other people who have issues with you who you might fight. But there's also this, like, kind of almost like primal force that will destroy any human in its path. And of course, in Westerns, that's Native Americans because we're all racist. And in Serenity, he was like, okay, it's not going to be Native Americans because Whedon has his problems, but he's not that overtly racist, right? So instead, it's going to be Reavers. And his idea was that, like, anybody could be a Reaver. They just, like, you know, something about being out in the depths of space makes them turn homicidal. And it's like, okay, there's just, like, not a good explanation for that. Like, unless there's, like, some, like, elaborate trick where it turns out the Reavers aren't what we think they are, I can't imagine how they could explain that. Like, I just remember in, I think it's Bushwhacked is the episode where, like, Malcolm gives his theory about, like, you know, man comes up against that kind of darkness, the only way to survive it is to become it. And it's like, Malcolm, what are you talking about?
Malcolm, no.
Malcolm, why? I mean, I get that sounds really cool, and, like, but, like, what are you, Mal? Why? you know. So, on the one hand, like, probably, I don't imagine there was ever going to be a satisfactory reveal for what the Reavers are. On the other hand, if the series had kept going, it would have been probably two or three seasons before we figured that out. So, I'm down. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, sure, give me two or three more seasons with these characters who are great and have cool interactions and, like, are well-written. Mm-hmm. And, like, before I knew that, you know, the guy who plays Jane is kind of a dick. Right? Like, I would like to go back to those days.
kind of is an understatement.
Yeah, a little bit more than that. You know, like, back before I knew anything about him. That would be fine. Be into that.
Yeah. You know.
So, we haven't talked about one thing, Oren, that I think we definitely need to pitch for a sequel for.
Yeah.
And that has to do with a certain RPG campaign.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Chris isn't here, so we could just say everything. Yeah, Chris's RPG campaign. It was really, really good. And also, I want more of it. So, you know, Chris, if you listen to this podcast, run another campaign. I know you don't have time for that, but...
Listen, she needs to make time.
Well, Chris's campaign was brilliant, and there's more than enough material there for, like, a sequel. I mean, she even left us a cliffhanger, right? I mean, like, it's all in there.
Well,
so.
I feel like that was kind of my fault, because, like, at the end, there was this big magic confrontation where it was like, you know, we had to take down the big magic bad guy, and I had this great idea that was like, oh, well, this feels like it's in a cycle, so, like, we need to do something that breaks the cycle. And the thing that was we had to destroy our magical powers, which, it, like, you know, creates an automatic question of, like, oh, but how will they get their magic powers back? And so that's, like, my fault. I did that, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, but let's not forget that my character ended up getting in the mail from some random person a very ancient tome. Oh. Surely it's filled with only cooking recipes, yeah, and other good things.
Absolutely. That's what you put in ancient tomes, right?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, defos.
No, I would love that.
It's a Reader's Digest tome of home recipes.
Speaking of other mediums, we talked about video games last week, but, like, in general, like, video games are things that I like to have sequels for. Like, I will play every Fallout game that is made, you know, even though I complain about them. And, like, I would really like a sequel to Arcanum. Because, like, Arcanum was a really fun...
That game was so good, yeah.
Right, it was super fun, but it was also super busted, right? It had, like, all these bugs, and it was sometimes really hard to play, and there are a bunch of sections where you just have to look up what you're supposed to do, because the game's certainly going to tell you.
Right.
So, you know, like, maybe a sequel to Arcanum, or, like, a spiritual sequel to Arcanum, where with, like, modern game design, where it's easy to find what you're supposed to do.
Well, that would be good too. I mean, that game had a lot going on, especially, like, spoilers, I guess, but, like, the reveal that, like, the magic and the technology, like, that it's like cyclical, right? That, yeah, like, your character discovers an ancient super advanced civilization, right? So like, all these, like, you spend the whole game like, awesome, I know how to make, like, you know, a top hat that protects me from electrical attacks and a machine gun. And then you find out that, like, all these things you've discovered, like, there used to be an ancient civilization that did it way better. Like, I mean, that's just prime for, like, going into the, like, I don't know. It's just a lot of material there to mine. You're absolutely right. Please give us more of that,
right?
Creators of Arcanum who are definitely listening.
Absolutely.
Oh, 100%.
Well, I mean, Arcanum is one of those old games that's, like, stuck in, like, license hell, right? Like, the person, whoever owns its license is not ever going to do anything with it, but, like, also will just hold on to it until, like, you know, the sun turns into a red giant.
Right.
But anyway, sorry, Reese, you were saying something?
Oh, no. Oh. You're good.
Okay. But, like, Arcanum also has, in addition to just being a game that I like, it had a lot of plot threads that were kind of unresolved, that were left, I think, for sequels. Like, you know, there's this whole, like, X-Files investigation you do, where you, like, look into this, like, this conspiracy of gnomes, or as I call it, a gnome-spiracy, that, like, is trying to take over the human cities and, like, has this weird, like, you know, bodyguard breeding program, and it's all very strange, and, like, they even have, like, an X-Files reference where your character, like, says the truth is out there, or, like, one of your people you talk to, I forget who, but, like, it ends with, like, all of your evidence disappearing and your witness turning up dead, and, like, you don't know what happened, and it's like, what? What? That's the end of the quest line. And it's like, how is that not going to be addressed in the sequel, right? Like, somewhere. And then there never was a sequel because the game didn't sell that well, which is too bad, but...
It is too bad.
Yeah, and then...
It's very much too bad.
You know, other stuff, like the... In this game, like, you have this sort of unaddressed problem that the main human city, as it's, like, industrializing and getting more powerful, is sort of threatening all of its neighbors with domination. And, like, you know, the elves the elves and the dwarves are suffering because, like, humans are encroaching into their lands. And there's all of this stuff that, like, could all make a really rich game. And I really, you know, I would like to play that game, please. That would be very nice. All right. Well, so with that very long rant about Arcanum, we are actually we are at the end of our time. Sorry, I took up so long with Arcanum. I just really like that game.
Hey, it's okay. Maybe it's inspired someone out there to pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they could just do, like, you know, like the Torment, Tides of Numenera is a spiritual successor to Planescape Torment, and it was really good. And if they could just do that, it'd be great. But otherwise, we are out of time. Thank you both for joining me to talk about this very exciting thing about sequels, because we all just, like, had to get that off our chest, I think.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you at home, if anything we said piqued your interest, leave a comment on the website. Otherwise, we will talk to you next week.
If you like the way we talk about stories, check out how we write them. Original Fiction is now on MythCreants.com. Presented in audio on our new podcast, MythCreant Storytime. There was a dragon with a pointy tail. He was bigger than a whale, and his breath was terrible. He scared the princess when he came around. Tried to burn the castle down, but she caught him by his tail. Then she tied him to a tree so the dragon couldn't fly. She told him he was mean, and it made the dragon cry. When he finally apologized, she offered him some tea. He accepted it graciously. Now he visits every weekend with the princess.
This has been the MythCreant Podcast. Opening closing theme, The Princess Who Saved Herself, by Jonathan Colton.